We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 15, entitled Description of the Kingdom of God, verse number 22. Vapishu vidrama tada samalamrtapsu. Preshwanita nijavane tulasi tulasi bhirisham. Abhyarchati abhyarchati swalakam swalakamunna samiksha vaktra. Translation: the goddess of fortune worship the Lord in their own gardens by offering tulasi leaves on the coral paved banks of transcendental reservoirs of water. While offering worship to the Lord, they can see on the water the reflection of their beautiful faces with raised nose, and it appears that they have become more beautiful because of the Lord's kissing their faces. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. It's a short purport. Generally, when a woman is kissed by her husband, her face becomes more beautiful. In Vaikuntha also, although the goddess of fortune is naturally as beautiful as can be imagined, she nevertheless awaits the kissing of the Lord to make her face more beautiful. The beautiful face of the goddess of fortune appears in ponds of transcendental crystal water when she worships the Lord with tulasi leaves in her garden. So I will explain this verse based on the next verse also. So I will read next verse also, then we will explain the both the purports. Okay, then it makes a complete picture. This is verse 23. Ennavrajandya kipito rachananuvada shrunnandiye nya vishaya kukatha madignihi yasushruta hata mater nibharata sara samstankshipandya sharaneshu tama suhanta. Translation: it is very much regrettable that unfortunate people do not discuss the description of the Vaikuntha planets, but engage in topics which are unworthy to hear and which bewilder one's intelligence. Those who give up the topics of Vaikuntha and take to talk of the material world are thrown into the darkest region of ignorance. Here, purport is very important, and that actually explains the whole section that is running at this point. The most unfortunate persons are the impersonalists who cannot understand the transcendental variegatedness of the spiritual world. They are afraid to talk about the beauty of the Vaikuntha planets because they think that the variegatedness must be material. Such impersonalists think that the spiritual world is completely void, or in other words, that there is no variegatedness. The mentality is described here as kukatha mati gnihi. The intelligence bewilders by unworthy words. The philosophies of voidness and the impersonal situation of the spiritual world are condemned here because they bewilder one's intelligence. How can the impersonalist and the void philosopher think of this material world which is full of variegatedness and then say that there is no variegatedness in the spiritual world? It is said that the material world is the perverted reflection of the spiritual world. So unless there is variegatedness in the spiritual world, how can there be temporary variegatedness in the material world? That one can transcend the material world does not imply that there is no transcendental variegatedness. Here in the Bhagavatam, in this verse particularly, it is stressed that people who try to discuss and understand the real spiritual nature of the spiritual sky and the Vaikuntha are fortunate. The variegatedness of the Vaikuntha planet is described in relation to the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. But instead of trying to understand the spiritual abode and the spiritual activities of the Lord, people are more interested in politics and economic developments. They hold many conversations, meetings, and discussions to solve the problems of this worldly situation, where they can remain for only a few years. But they are not interested in understanding the spiritual situation of the Vaikuntha world. If they are at all fortunate, they become interested in going back home, back to Godhead. But unless they understand the spiritual world, they rot in this material darkness continuously.
जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
हरे कृष्णा I chose to speak the verse number 23 also because it places things in perspective. Here, in the 22nd verse, there is a description of how the goddess of fortune, they worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead and their intentions and their inclinations in their worship. Whereas, in the verse 23, there is the description of material consciousness. And Srila Prabhupada very clearly explains the material consciousness in terms of that of impersonalists and voidists. So it is very important for us to understand this very clearly because we can also see the tendencies in our own heart and we can see how even we are contaminated by such tendencies. So here, the whole description of the spiritual world is presented in the context of the pastime of Jai and Vijay. How they committed offenses to the Kumaras and how they got cursed. So here the spiritual world, the Vaikuntha planet is described wherein the Kumaras are coming to the scene. They are traveling through the different material worlds. They are entering the spiritual sky. They are traveling without any particular desire. Meaning they are traveling without any particular material desires. So they are entering the spiritual planet and they are observing the spiritual planet. So here, there is a description of the spiritual planet is given. So it can be challenging to our own faith. If somebody is very neophyte, his faith can be challenged by the descriptions of the spiritual world, that of the Vaikuntha planet. So here, in this purport, Srila Prabhupada explains the standpoint of an impersonalist. So in the impersonalists have always problem with variegatedness. They cannot handle variety. In the material world, we understand that variety is the mother of enjoyment. We all agree on this point, right? If you want to have some prasadam, we want variety, right? We are looking for variety. If we want dresses, then we want variety. Like only few people will have only same color of dress, right? Rest everyone will have multiple colors. It is necessary because we need variety. So if without variety, there is no enjoyment whatsoever. And people do plan their day, their life to have so many varieties. If you speak to people, especially in the current society, the current youth of this country, people have so many plans. If you talk to them for 10 minutes, then you understand so many varieties of plans, right? I want to be here for 1 month, then I want to go to South America, then I want to go to Europe. They want to experience varieties because that is the only way they think they can enjoy. So materially, Srila Prabhupada also said, variety is the mother of enjoyment. So we do agree that point. However, when it comes to the impersonalist, they understand the depth and problem of variety. So we do appreciate that point. What is the problem? The matter and its transformation causes varieties. So we can see matter is present and the matter is being transformed into different shapes. And that is causing different varieties. However, when you talk about the Supreme Absolute, the definition according to the impersonalists, which is homogeneous oneness, how can that homogeneous oneness have variety? So that is the primary question. If something is which is one and which is just homogeneous, how can it provide any kind of varieties? So the material world is full of varieties, and they do understand that the varieties causes choices. And when there are choices, there are confusions, there are anxieties, and there are problems. Is it right? If we have choices, think, the variety is giving us choices. And the more choices we have more problem. Even though it looks very good to have choices, but even from a material perspective, when people are given more choices, they run into more problems. They come to a situation where they cannot make any kinds of choices. There are psychologists who have done studies on this regard, where people were provided with many choices. Say if there is an insurance policy, instead of providing, you know, two or three policies, they were given with policies of 50. All of them have their own pros and cons. And what happened? Eventually, people, they found that there was a decline in number of people who chose for any of the policies. Because they were completely paralyzed. They couldn't make any choice. They think, you know, there are so many things, so we cannot choose anything. So when there are more choices, there are more problems. And even if we have few choices materially, but the impersonalists understand that by material choices, they run into concomitant reactions which involve suffering. So to avoid suffering, they think if there are no choices and if there are no varieties, then they can avoid suffering. So when you see Mayavadis, for example, they emphasize sannyas. They don't want the material varieties. They emphasize sannyas. Okay, just wear one cloth. Just wear saffron cloth. Just have matted hair. No need to take care of body so much. So the whole idea is coming, okay, we don't need such kind of varieties. And we want to go in a straight path of renunciation. And they say, if one wants to perfect, if one is engaged in any other activities or if one is in any other ashram, it is impossible. One has to be in the renounced order of life. It is emphasized. So they say one has to accept sannyas as early as possible so that they can pursue a solid spiritual path. Because they don't want to indulge in the material variegatedness. So they understand ultimate reality is without any variegatedness, according to them. And to reach that ultimate reality, one has to renounce material variegatedness. So they go as closer as possible even in their material conduct. So this is impersonalism. And of course, we don't appreciate that and we don't say that, we don't proclaim that as the truth. In Bhagavad Gita, that's why Krishna says, there are two possibilities. Krishna says, one can see akarmani, yeah, karmaya pashyet. And what's the opposite? Karmani. What in the karma, one can see the akarma. And the akarma, one can see karma. What does that mean? An intelligent person can see inactivity in activity and the activity in inactivity. So exactly the opposite. An intelligent person on a transcendental platform, even though he conducts his life in this material world, he can see activity in inactivity. So how can we see, how can he see activity in inactivity? So a devotee, an intelligent person is referring to a devotee can see activity in inactivity. What is that inactivity referring to? The inactivity of an impersonalist. Apparently an impersonalist in this material world is inactive, but he can see activity in that because he cannot be completely devoid of any activities. And there is no transcendental basis for the material activities of an impersonalist. So you can give up all the activities, but Bhagavad Gita says practically one has to engage in some sort of activities. Nakshanabhi jadu tishtati akarmakrit. One cannot sit idle, one has to act. And to the extent that fifth chapter of Bhagavad Gita says, even breathing, even seeing, even touching, even evacuating, eating, all these are activities. So how can one give up those activities? So giving up all activities, it is just a myth. It is impossible. And there is no transcendental basis for those activities for an impersonalist. For a devotee knows how to engage those activities in service of Krishna. And he can see how the existence in itself is for the service of Krishna. So all the even basic activities have transcendental basis, because that is devotion service, that is pleasure of Krishna. But for an impersonalist, that doesn't exist. So a devotee can see activity in inactivity. And on the other hand, a devotee, he is completely active, but at the same time he is inactive. He is active completely spiritually, but materially he is inactive. So that's the example given of tortoise in Bhagavad Gita. Kurmangani iva sarvashaha. Kurma, just like a tortoise, withdraws all the senses, just like a devotee. When there is no possibility of engaging senses externally in service of Krishna, he will just withdraw the senses. He can chant Hare Krishna or think about Krishna. So that is a devotee. So there is a contrast. That's why in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, this verse is the Naishkarmyam api achyuta bhava varjitam. Na shobhade jnanam alam niranjanam. It's a very important verse. It is spoken by Narada Muni to Vyasadeva. Naishkarmyam api. Even though the knowledge is completely devoid of fruitive activities, that knowledge doesn't flourish. That is, it is not complete if it is without the knowledge of Krishna. Achyuta bhava varjita. If it is devoid of Krishna conscious knowledge, it is not complete. So it is applicable to knowledge and the activity in itself. So this is the standpoint of a devotee. So devotees are active. And in fact, Srila Prabhupada said, very interesting statement, Prabhupada said, service now, samadhi later. Serve now, samadhi later. You need to serve, because the whole purpose of Krishna consciousness is to serve. So service now, samadhi later. And Prabhupada said, if you are engaged in service of Krishna, that is samadhi. Serving Krishna is samadhi. If you are offering flowers to the Lord, if you are offering bhoga to the Lord, if you are distributing prasadam books, that is service to the Lord and that is samadhi. So absorption in service is samadhi. So this is a completely different definition of samadhi. It is challenging the impersonalist conception of samadhi altogether. In fact, that's why Srila Prabhupada gave the example of licking a bottle of honey. One can lick the bottle of honey, but one cannot taste anything. In the same way, if one is not engaged in the transcendental service of the Lord, one cannot taste any rasa. There is no real pleasure. Many of the impersonalists, they deny rasa lila. They say, one of the scholars, he was asked this question, that why Krishna performed rasa lila, which is immoral. So the question in itself, okay, we can understand a person who do not know anything about rasa lila or anything about Krishna. Why Krishna engaged in such an abominable activity? Then this impersonalist scholar, he gave the answer. It is very clearly mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam that Krishna never performed rasa lila. It was only a maya. It is mentioned very clearly that it is just a maya. It is an arrangement of the maya, wherein it looks like Krishna performed his rasa lila. How is that? The question is foolish, and answer is even more foolish. So because they cannot handle the supreme activity of the Lord, because when they think about rasa lila, they can only think about interaction between a man and a woman on the platform of lust. So since they do not know anything beyond that, so they had to deny. So this is the position of the impersonalist. They deny Krishna's activities, and which is of the topmost. So rasa lila is considered the highest. So this is the plight of the impersonalist because of poor fund of knowledge. And this is, remember, this impersonalist scholar, he spoke this in a Krishna temple. In front of, you know, hundreds of Bhagavatam reciters. And no one had any problem. Think about that. So this is the society. That is, those who heard, they didn't have any problem. Even other Bhagavatam reciters, they didn't have any problem. Everyone was happy, perfectly happy with that. Of course, for the devotees, the answer is very clear. Srila Prabhupada very clearly explains in this that materially, yes, there are varieties. So that clearly shows that there has to be spiritual variety. Because material world is a perverted reflection of the spiritual world. So if we can find variety in matter, then obviously there has to be variety in the spirit. Second, even though you observe variety in matter, and that is leading to suffering, but how can the spirit, which is Sachidananda, so by definition it is Ananda, by definition it is blissful, can provide suffering, even though there is variety. So Prabhupada gives these arguments to open our mind that, okay, there is a variety in the spiritual world, and it is so difficult for us to accept if we don't have the knowledge, if we don't have chanting, if we don't have the mercy of the devotees, to accept the spiritual world, the spiritual varieties, and even the form, the spiritual form of the Supreme Lord. When I came to Krishna consciousness, I had difficulty accepting the spiritual form of the Lord. I had difficulty accepting all these pastimes as spiritual. It looks wonderful, it looks nice, but how can there be activity in the spiritual existence? So this is a common question. So only through association, only through purification of the consciousness can we accept spiritual variegatedness. Then what to speak about developing attraction to the spiritual world and the spiritual activities, which are the pastimes, the leelas of the Lord, which is the aim of Krishna consciousness. We need to get attraction for the pastimes of the Lord. Then it becomes easy to control our mind. Till then it is more difficult. There is always the mechanical force of controlling the mind. But as soon as we start developing attraction for the Lord and His activities, then controlling the mind becomes much easier. So this is the secret. If we develop attraction for Krishna, Krishna means Krishna's form, name, qualities and pastimes. When the mind starts dwelling onto that, then it becomes much easier to control the material senses. We don't feel like so much indulging in the material affairs. And as far as the materialists are concerned, the impersonals deny variegated in the spiritual absolute. But when we consider the materialists, what do? They cannot accept the spiritual abode of the Lord. How can Krishna can have an abode? At the same time, their life is centered around making their own abode in the material world. Think about the life of anyone, any materialist, actually anyone, practically speaking. They work hard because they want their own abode. Right? They start their career, start making some money, then get a mortgage, then they get their house. That is their abode. I have seen people spending so much of time in designing their house. In fact, I have seen people, they spend months and months and months looking, going through the different plans. Okay, they have a plot of land. Okay, they want a house of this much square meter or square feet, whatever. And all the different possibilities. Where should be the lounge? Where should be the bedroom? Where should be the kitchen? And all the permutations and combinations. And get a vastu person, analyze the whole thing. And they spend time to design their own abode. Isn't it right? And they have need, the furnishing is required. After the landscaping is required. Actually, if you think about it, they are creating their own abode. And most of the people do not have money to get this house, so they have to pay for the mortgage. And how long it takes to pay the mortgage? You know, 20 years, 25 years, pretty much the lifetime. As one devotee was telling, it is not very easy to be a householder. Because to hold on to a house, it's very difficult. to own a house, it is very difficult. One needs a house, right, to be a householder. So in the material world, just to have a house in itself is so difficult. Meaning, to have one's own abode is so difficult. And one is spending the whole life to own an abode. But at the same time, one denies for Krishna to have his own abode. So Krishna has his own abode. And he is enjoying his pastimes in his abode. So that's the reality. This is because they are envious of Krishna. Because that is the deep down problem. How can Krishna have? I want, but how come Krishna can have this? So this is the standpoint of the materialist. However, what about us, for the devotees? We accept, we never say, you know, we don't question the fact, okay, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna has an abode. We accept everything. But when it comes to our private life, when it comes to our thoughts, and even to a great degree our action, we try to find a balance between Krishna and Maya. We think we need a balance between Krishna and Maya in our thoughts. So we think, how can one be all the time thinking about Krishna? Especially, okay, forget about other times. Even when chanting, we need to have a balance. Sometimes we hear the holy name and sometimes we can think about something else. Actually, we do accept this fact. This is our philosophy while chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. This is our philosophy all the time when we are in our material consciousness. We think it can be too much of Krishna while chanting. It was just 2 hours, but we think, how can we think about Krishna all the time? Is it really possible to think about Krishna? Is it possible to hear Krishna's holy names for 2 hours? We really doubt. You think about, you know, our own consciousness, we doubt. Is it really possible? Or can we have at least mostly hearing our chanting? We question ourselves. Is it really possible? But the point is, if we want to make spiritual progress, the formula is not very complicated. Krishna consciousness is not a rocket science. It is, first principle is chant attentively. If you go to any japa retreat, if you go to any, hear from any senior Vaishnavas, everyone bring to the same point that chant attentively. The attentive chanting is the basis for everything in our devotional service. And if you want to go deeper in our chanting in itself, first what we need is attentive chanting. We can feel attentive chanting if we want to see whether we are attentively chanting or not. Okay, one, we will hear the holy name. Second, we don't count how many rounds I have already done. Can you understand? We become oblivious to the fact that I have done 2 rounds or 3 rounds or 15 rounds. This is a sign of absorption. Then we can see, okay, I am chanting, but I don't care how many rounds I have done so far. So this is a little bit of absorption. Then we can see, okay, it is attentive. Because we are not really worried about how many rounds I have done. Does it come in the mind all the time? Have you noticed? I have done 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, like that. The mind, okay, mind is the background of the mind. We are actually counting. Okay, I have done 2, 3, like that. But attentive chanting means we are not counting. For that, there is a counterbeat. That is the purpose of counterbeat. Our mind is not meant for that. It's actually, when I started chanting initially, I never had a counterbeat. I used to count in the mind. Then one thing, we can make mistake. Then also Prabhu said, we need to have the counterbeat. And the real purpose of counterbeat is that then we can engage mind completely in hearing the holy names. We don't have to think how many rounds I have done. So this kind of attentive chanting is very important. So if we want to make spiritual progress, we need attentive chanting. And we cannot make real progress without that. It's not something which we can actually give away, okay? We'll do everything else, okay, but this we will neglect. It's not possible. It's not going to work. Then, even with our mind, we can see what are the intentions, what are the desires, what are the kinds of thoughts that are coming into our mind. We need to observe that. And if it is not really favorable, then we need to cut that while chanting and otherwise also. Then we need to follow the regulative principle strictly. So if we have these basic things, so Srila Prabhupada has given everything, at the same time, if we focus on the fundamentals, then we can make rapid spiritual advancement. If we have absorption in our service and in our sadhana, then we can make progress. We don't need anything so much. Actually speaking, we don't need to do any fantastic services to make spiritual progress. One may think that we have to do some big, big things, then I can become advanced in my spiritual life. It's not really necessary. It's never mentioned. When Krishna says, you know, Machitta Madgada Prana Bodhenda Parasparam Kathemcha Mam Nityam Tushyanti Charamanticha, Krishna is not telling really far out things. Krishna is telling, okay, you know, discussing Krishna talk, Krishna Katha to one another. And one is relishing those topics. So if you are engaged in our service, and if you are absorbed in our service, and if you are doing proper sadhana, then advancement is guaranteed. There is no problem. And of course, we need to avoid offenses. We need to avoid offending devotees. We need to, especially we need to check our mind before speaking the offense against the devotees. We tend to criticize. So this is one thing we need to really check. That is when we have to think what we are going to speak, especially when it comes to we are in an agitated position and we are not really feeling well with someone else, then naturally we want to criticize. We need to check this. So that helps our chanting. So in that way, we can see that it's not enough for us to see that, okay, the impersonalists, they deny the variegatedness of the spiritual world. But we have to see, if we want to really relish the variegatedness of the spiritual world and that of the chanting, then we need to be serious. We need to be focused. Otherwise, we will keep going, but you know, we may not reach anywhere. That's why we chant every day, right? Bahu janma kari hari shravanam kirtanam tapudana paya krishna pade premadhan. One can chant this Hare Krishna Mahamantra for many, many, many lifetimes. Still, one may not achieve perfection. So this is the problem. As one devotee was mentioning, one senior devotee was mentioning, one can keep practicing Krishna consciousness, one can be in ISKCON lifetime after lifetime. Still, one may not perfect. One has done enough spiritual credit so that one can come to ISKCON and one can continue one's spiritual life. Since one is not serious, one is still committing offenses, one remains still in the material world. So one has to be quite serious in that respect. Then here the description is about the abode and the variegatedness of the spiritual world. And the devotees are waiting for the reciprocation of the Lord. Here, as it is mentioned, the Lakshmis, the goddess of fortune, they are waiting for the Lord. In the same way, we are also waiting for the reciprocation of the Lord. And if we do our chanting and if we do our services properly, we can see the reciprocation of Krishna. Krishna always reciprocates. And if we do things properly, then we can see the reciprocation of the Lord. So in one sense, controlling the mind, fixing the mind on Krishna, fixing the mind on chanting, it is difficult because we are conditioned. But if we take the difficulty, the interesting thing is that we can see the reciprocation of the Lord. That can help us to move forward in our spiritual life. In fact, Srila Prabhupada mentioned in the Nectar Devotion, in the beginning itself, that the abode of the Lord is as important as the Lord himself. Prabhupada gives the example of Kurukshetra. So Kurukshetra is very important, because that's where Krishna performed his pastime of the battle of Kurukshetra, where Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. So we don't deny the importance of things which are connected to Krishna. So here there's a description of the spiritual world. So it is very important because it is connected to Krishna. In fact, it is interesting that even for Krishna, Krishna's abode is so important. This is the very important and very confidential aspect of Rath Yatra. Right? In the Rath Yatra, what's Rath Yatra? Mahaprabhu was dancing in front of the Rath cart in Jagannath Puri, where the Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra, they were taken to Gundicha. So where Mahaprabhu was chanting this verse, Yah Kama Rahara. So it is describing the meeting of Srimati Radharani and all the residents of Vrindavan with Krishna in Kurukshetra. But here the whole description is there, where it is mentioned, Krishna is present in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, and Srimati Radharani is also present in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Still, even though both were present, Srimati Radharani says, it is not the same. Krishna is there, I am the same Radharani, and he is the same Krishna. And he is the same master I worshipped throughout my life. But still, it is not the same. Why? Because, it is very clearly mentioned, because Srimati Radharani was missing Vrindavan. So it is mentioned. So the important thing is that the abode of the Lord is so important for Krishna. That's why it's given that Vrindavanam parityajya padam ekam na gacchati. Giving up Vrindavan, Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. Krishna is always present in Vrindavan. So it's so important for the Lord to have his abode. And he never leaves his own abode. So that's where we can see, when we hear the description here, it's about the Vaikuntha planet or the spiritual abode, we can see the importance of the spiritual abode. It is very important for Krishna. So even the Lord and his devotees are there, they need the right setting to enjoy their pastimes. So that's why when you see this spiritual abode, we need to read, we need to absorb in the spiritual abode through hearing, because that has to become our meditation. If we don't have the spiritual meditation, it is very difficult to continue our Krishna consciousness. How far can we tolerate the demands of our own mind? As we progress in our spiritual life, we need to have meditation on Krishna. It's not for someone else, it is for us. We need to know the spiritual abode, we need to know the spiritual activities, so that in back of our mind, we have these things playing. Mind has enormous capacity. Of course, it has the capacity to pull us down, but at the same time, mind has the capacity when we are doing external activities, service or even sometimes work, internally we can have meditation on Krishna, Krishna's qualities, Krishna's form and Krishna's pastimes. Mind has the capacity for that. It is only dependent on the purification of our consciousness. So if we have a proper chanting, we can see that yes, it is possible to think about Krishna many times during the day, and sometimes even the middle of the night, or when we are getting up, first time opening the eyes, you know, we can think about some verses about Krishna. If we do it in a regulated fashion, for example, when we do it in a regulated fashion where we get up, we pay obeisances, we chant glorification of Krishna, when we do that, eventually, by the first thought that can come to our mind, it can be about Krishna, it can be a verse from Bhagavatam. So that is a very good meditation. So that we are coming to, you know, we are coming out from ignorance, we are at least first thinking about Krishna. So this is what we need to aim for. We need to think about Krishna. And the advanced devotee says it is possible. So we shouldn't think, okay, we had to wait for another 30 years to start thinking about Krishna. So we have many means to think about Krishna. We can memorize verses from Srimad Bhagavatam to think about Krishna. One can memorize, remember the Lord's beautiful forms. One can get into the details of the forms of the Lord. Each and everything from the toenail to the mukut to the peacock feather. One can think, okay, what the Lord is wearing. One can meditate. Then we can take that meditation throughout our day and in the night sometimes. And even while sleeping, getting up. Or one can dream of Krishna. So this is possible. So that's why we need absorption. So the more we are absorbed, it becomes much easier. Actually, if we are absorbed in Krishna, to that degree, we don't have to suffer. Problems will be there in this world, but we don't have to suffer. Even while living in this world. So this is Bhagavad Gita, this is Bhagavatam. We can be in this world still. We don't need to really suffer. Problems will be there, but to suffer or not is a choice. So we are quite fortunate that there is a very beautiful description of the spiritual world. It is the one sense it is giving the details, and also it is giving the mood of the spiritual world. How the devotees in various species in the spiritual world are completely non-envious. They are cooperating completely in serving the Lord. So now, after this, we will see how the Kumaras, they enter the spiritual abode and they get the mercy of the Lord. So that is a wonderful description to come further. So I stop here and see if there are any questions or comments. Yes, Ruth. Yeah, it's a very good point. Actually, what is stopping our absorption is that material attachment. Because if you want to think about Krishna, 100 other things comes. We want to get absorbed in chanting, so many thoughts are coming, so we can't absorb. Yes, so it needs practice. What kind of practice? One is, we try to focus on the holy name, we try to focus on the service for absorption. And on the other side, we don't really further our attachments. So that's why the strict following of regulative principles are very important. It actually starts internally as well. It's not just external. Okay, external following is there. But to go further, we need to start internally. Where if we analyze our mind, when we have some unwanted thoughts in our mind, we tend to linger in those thoughts for a longer period. So this is starting from our chanting. As Madhava Maharaj made a very good statement, I really liked. We are good as far as our chanting, our rounds are. We are good as far as our chant rounds are. So everything is depending on our rounds, for example. So here, starting from the chanting, the same thing is happening. Different thoughts are coming. And we tend to spend more time in those thoughts rather than bringing the mind back to the holy name. So this is the same principle which is going around throughout our life in any form of our sadhana, any form of our service. So the mind is just wandering and we are not bringing it back. So here we have to do it as a practice, that bringing the mind back, whether it's chanting or other services or other aspects of sadhana. Second, we need to avoid things will really cause agitation, whatever it is. It can be different for different people. But that will just cause agitation. We need to avoid those kind of activities. It can be our deeds or thoughts we need to avoid. If you are in a certain situation which definitely is going to create problem for us, then avoid such kind of situation. It really helps. So yeah, basically practice and also don't further the attachments. Don't fuel it further. Actually, that is our problem. We tend to fuel our attachments in different ways. That creates a lot of problems. Yeah. If you do that with practice, then naturally if we hear and chant Krishna's names and we hear about Krishna, then it's a matter of time. We have to see ourselves, you know, see in 1 year time, 2, 3, 4, 5, year after year, are we really able to relish the aspects of Krishna? We had to look into our own self. How was it when I heard about Krishna 5 years back and now? Is there any improvement? So we can see, if we practice, gradually we can see, okay, we are able to absorb more in Krishna. And we tend to develop that attraction for Krishna rather than the matter. So that is a gradual progression we need to see. And if we are not seeing that progression, definitely one has to carefully look into one's spiritual practice. What one is doing, what is going wrong, one has to. It is mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that even if one is absorbed or engaged in devotional service all the time, still unless and until one develops attraction for Krishna personally, one cannot make further progress. So we need to see, when we see service, when we see any other aspects of devotional service, we need to see in connection to Krishna. We usually tend to separate Krishna service and Krishna. That's where the problem happens. We separate the holy names and Krishna himself. We separate reading Bhagavatam and Krishna. We can become just ritualistic reading. You know, it is actually Niyamagraha. Just following for the sake of following. Even chanting can become Niyamagraha. I have to chant, I am just chanting. Sometimes I am just hearing, like that. It is Niyamagraha to some degree. So we need to make progress from Niyamagraha to proper following of Niyama. Or proper following of principles. Any other questions, comments? Okay.
The recent violence in other parts of the world.
Yeah. Why problems are there? Yes. You can see so much of problem in Syria, in Europe, a lot of problem. Paris, there are a lot of problems now. Yes, we need to understand point number one, that the material world is a world of problems. One shouldn't be surprised why there are problems in this world. That is the nature of this world. So that is a philosophical understanding, proper understanding, that this is a world of problems. So problems will be